This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. After God's servant Daniel had spent decades in exile, he had a very confusing dream about strange beasts and their kingdoms. The dream bothered Daniel, and he sought answers from God. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will continue a sermon titled, The Cosmic Conflict, from Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 28, where Daniel gets answers about his dream. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
How do we navigate that terrain as believers? And so we need a reliable roadmap, and we need confident assurance, and we need accurate information. As I was preparing for this message, I came across a reminder of something that I had read many years before, but I want to give it to you as an illustration. During World War II, the Nazis, the Germans, believed that they were invincible, and part of the reason for their confidence was a code machine that they had developed that they believed was invincible. It was unbreakable. It was called Enigma. Many of you have seen the movie The Imitation Game, which is all about how the British actually cracked this code and replaced it with their own called the Ultra System. This breakthrough didn't prevent the Allies from having to experience the hardships of war, but it gave them hope and confidence and ultimate victory because it gave them inside information. And these visions in Daniel 7 through 12, these four visions, are visions where God sends an angelic messenger, the angel Gabriel, and he is going to crack the Enigma code of the Bible. These visions are going to provide insight into the kingdom of the world and their relationship to God's kingdom, their posture toward God's people, and how God's kingdom will ultimately prevail. In fact, Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19, in a time far distant from the Apostle John, who saw that vision, records an angel announcing to the entire universe, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of his Son. And so you have this massive moment here in Daniel chapter 7 where you are given the controlling vision that is going to interpret all of the other three visions that are coming. Now you remember when we started Daniel chapter 7, we saw that the first half of the chapter, verses 1 through 14, really gave us the vision in four parts. It talked about four worldwide empires that were described as ferocious, ravenous beasts. We saw Babylon described as a lion. We saw Persia described as a bear. We saw Greece described as a leopard. And then there was this fourth kingdom, the kingdom of Rome, that is described as a fearful and fearsome dragon. The second part of that first half of the chapter, that second part of the vision, focused in on this fourth kingdom, the kingdom of Rome, this dragon that had 10 horns that represented 10 different kings and smaller kingdoms inside that large kingdom that would eventually be subdued and ruled by an 11th king, an arrogant and blasphemous king that would rise up and speak great and blasphemous things against God. So you have the first part of the vision are these four kingdoms, and then the second part of the vision focuses in on the fourth kingdom. And then it takes you immediately to a scene in heaven where you see a throne and you see somebody sitting on that throne, the Ancient of Days. And before him are millions of servants who stand there ready to serve him and worship him. And someone called the Son of Man is formally presented to him. And he receives from the Ancient of Days a kingdom and dominion and glory and honor and a people. And he receives from all peoples, nations, and languages the rendering of the same worship that they give to the one on the throne. And so that's where we ended the vision. And now Daniel has questions about that vision. And so we want to look at Daniel's questions, and we want to see how God answers. And maybe the best way to do that this morning is to look at verses 15 through 22 as a group of verses that speak about the confusion in Daniel's heart. Notice verses 15 and 16 identify his concern. He says in verse 15, "As for me, Daniel." Now, it's interesting that he refers to himself like this twice in the chapter. It's as though he wants you and me to understand that there's something going on in his heart that he wants to make sure we don't miss. And what is going on in his heart and in his spirit is anxiety and alarm. "My spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. And so I approached one of those who stood there." Now remember, he's in the part of the vision where he is standing in heaven and he is watching what is going on around this throne where the Ancient of Days is. And he sees the Son of Man coming and being presented to him and receiving from him a kingdom and glory and dominion and worship. And he looks around and there are people, myriads of them, and some of them are angelic beings. And so he approaches in the vision one of these angels and he asks for an interpretation. And so let's stop for a moment and identify Daniel's concern. What was he concerned about? What was it that was making him anxious and alarmed? It wasn't that there were four kingdoms. He already knew that from what he had interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2. That was no surprise to him. It wasn't about the Ancient of Days because he had been serving that individual for his entire life. So the fact that there was a throne in heaven with the God of heaven seated on that throne may have been a new idea for Nebuchadnezzar, but it was a very old idea for the people of Israel, and it was a controlling idea for the prophet Daniel. So that wasn't what alarmed him. And it wasn't that there was a Son of Man who came and was presented to this Ancient of Days to receive a kingdom, because all through the written literature that God had given to his people, the Torah of God, there had always been the promise of the coming of a son who would bring those people back to the kingdom of Eden that had been lost when Adam and Eve listened to the voice of the serpent. And so none of that was new news to Daniel. None of that alarmed him. What alarmed him was something that he did not anticipate. And it's often the unanticipated things that alarm us and that trouble us. He was alarmed at the unexpected, unrestrained, and apparently unending hostility toward God's people by all of these kingdoms. And so he comes to the angel and he says to the angel, "I want to know the truth concerning all of this. I mean, I know about the kingdoms. I know about the one who sits on the throne. I know about the Son that is coming. But what I didn't expect and what I don't understand is the ferocity of the hostility that is against the people of God. I don't understand that." And so there is a big picture that comes in verse 17. And the big picture is simply the angel looking at Daniel and summing up the entire vision in two big ideas. Look at verse 17. "These four great beasts are four kings or four empires who will rise up out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever." Three times there is this statement that no matter what you see and no matter what happens with the kingdoms of men, these four kingdoms, Daniel, you need to know that the end has already been determined. Somehow the one sitting on the throne and the son standing before him are going to take the people of God and bring them back to the kingdom of Eden, the kingdom that matters most. And so in verses 19 through 22, Daniel has some further questions. He really wants to understand this big idea. And so in verse 19, he said, I desire to know the truth. And what he wants to know the truth about are three things. He wants to know about the nature of this fourth beast with 10 horns. He wants to know the identity of this 11th horn that comes up, this little horn. And by the way, let me just pause here and notice that, or make sure we understand that the word little in this text is not talking about tiny or insignificant. This horn, this ruler, is going to be the greatest ruler, the most arrogant ruler, the cruelest ruler, the most blasphemous ruler in the history of the kingdoms of the world. This is not talking about size. When this horn is described as little, when this kingdom and this king, whoever he is described as little, it's sort of a derogatory comment being made about him by the one sitting on the throne. In comparison to the Ancient of Days, who's been sitting on the throne long before there was a world even to rule, and in comparison to the majesty of the Son who stands before him, this arrogant ruler is little. And that's why he's described in this derogatory fashion by the Lord. And so as Daniel is asking about these things, I want to know about this fourth beast and the horns on its head. And then I want to know about this 11th horn that just comes out of nowhere and dominates the other three. But what I really want to know about is the war that this kingdom is going to wage against the saints of the Most High. And so the angel begins to answer Daniel in verse 23. And he reveals to Daniel and explains to Daniel the hostility of all of the kingdoms against God's enemies. And the first thing that he wants Daniel to understand is the origin of these kingdoms. They are all earthly kingdoms. Look at verse 3 of chapter 7. You'll notice that these four kingdoms rise up from the sea. There are four winds that blow, the sea churns, and out of the sea come these four kingdoms, or these four beasts. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, he describes them as rising up out of the earth. And there's no contradiction here. He's describing their chaotic nature. That's the idea of rising up out of the sea. And he's describing their thoroughly earthly origin as opposed to the fifth kingdom that we're going to meet later in the chapter. And the origin of that kingdom is very different than the origin of the first four. The first four are earthly kingdoms. They have their source in the earth. Their reign is earthy. It's marked by the world and its demonic oversight. We're told in the New Testament something that Daniel is not told here. We're told that the kingdom of men is actually energized by someone who has been given temporary authority over that kingdom, and he's called the God of this world. And he's described as a dragon. And so there is a drastic contrast between these four earthly, worldly kingdoms and the kingdom that is from heaven. The kingdom that has been promised to a group of people who belong to the Son that we just met, who's standing before the throne and receiving that kingdom. So these four kingdoms are earthly kingdoms, and they are described as ravenous beasts. 10 times in the chapter, the word beast is describing these kingdoms. They are ravenous kingdoms, described as ravenous beasts, and they are ruled by very powerful kings. That's the idea behind the word horn. These kingdoms will be marked by the appearance of powerful rulers who will each throw down the previous kingdom, assimilate all of its people and its territory, and dominate the world for an appointed season of time. Somebody is doing the appointing of the season that has been granted to them. And there's certainly no question about who that is. And then what we discover as Daniel continues to watch, these kingdoms and these rulers will all be dominated by a final powerful ruler who will rise up at the end of time, at the end of the time allotted to the fourth kingdom, and he will be the strongest, the most fearsome, ruthless, blasphemous, and arrogant ruler of them all. And it is this kingdom, and it is this ruler that has concerned Daniel. And he wants some answers about who that kingdom is and who that ruler is identified to be. And so there's a focus now that comes on this fourth kingdom and on this 11th ruler. This kingdom is distinct from all of the other kingdoms. It is more terrifying. It is more powerful. You'll notice in the first part of the vision in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 14, and you can see it again in verses 19 through 26, or 25 rather. It's not described as an animal. It's described as a dragon. It's described as this dragon-like kingdom. In fact, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, let me give you a text that's almost identical to the one we're looking at in Daniel chapter 7, and it's in Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, the very first part of that chapter is all about this particular kingdom and where it originates and who stands behind it. And when John wrote Revelation 13, it was hundreds of years after Daniel saw it in Daniel chapter 7. So by the time you get to John, hundreds of years later, that kingdom hadn't come yet. And that ruler had not appeared yet. And here we are today, and there are parts of the book of Revelation that are still future for us. And so whoever this ruler is, and whatever the aspect of that fourth kingdom that is in view in Revelation 13, it is still future for us. And so Daniel is getting this controlling vision, not just for his day, and not just for the years that are going to intervene between Daniel and the appearing of Jesus at his incarnation. He's going to see all the way to the end. There are parts of what we're reading about in this vision that are still future for us today. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? I already knew that. Well, the big deal about that is simply this. The things that concern Daniel ought to concern you. The thing that brought great alarm in Daniel's mind ought to bring great alarm in our mind. Daniel is not responding the way he responded because he had a lack of faith. Daniel is not responding the way he responded because somehow he wasn't trusting God enough. This is the man who faced lions. This is the man who stood alone almost, he and his three friends, for the God of heaven in one of the most difficult and darkest kingdoms on earth. And so when Daniel steps back and he sees a vision that goes all the way to the end and is alarmed by it, there ought to be a moment for us to stop and pause. And what alarmed Daniel was not that there isn't someone sitting on the throne and not that there isn't a son who's coming. What alarmed Daniel was the hostility that the people of God would face. Every single one of these empires is chosen, and it is articulated in light of its posture to the nation that God had chosen. These nations are all going to have a particular part to play in the history of God's people. You know, when you and I write history, and we write history books, we write about the great nations, we write about Egypt, we write about Assyria, we write about more modern nations, we write about England, we write about Germany, we write about France, we write about China. We fill up our history books And the vast majority of our history as we record it and as we think about it is all about the kingdoms of the world. And there is one kingdom that gets about three pages in the entire book. But when God writes history, and God wants you to know the history of the world, the history of the world is always presented to you through the lens of that nation. And everything that we're reading about that is alarming Daniel is alarming Daniel because of the implications that it has for the nation, the people that belong to God. The original kingdom of Eden had a temporary manifestation that was supposed to represent what it was all going to be like when that son finally arrived and took the kingdoms of the world as his own. And that kingdom was Israel. But something had happened to Israel. It had abandoned the Torah of God. It had abandoned the wisdom of God. It had embraced the wisdom of the world. And they were under discipline. And the discipline was being administrated on earth by the one in heaven who had delivered them over for a time, for a season, into the hands of the different kingdoms of the world by which he would discipline them. And so this fourth and final kingdom is the final iteration of all of that. And there is a final ruler, and he is identified. So let me just give you some texts that I think you ought to write down, because I think this will put you in play. Now, here's the first thing I want you to notice. This ruler, this 11th horn, this beast, this little horn that we're reading about, is in the fourth kingdom. And that's important because later on in the book, we're going to read about a little horn from the third kingdom. That's different from the one Daniel is talking about. And so the first thing we want to know about this little horn, about this ruler, is that they're going to be prototypes of him before he arrives. We already met one in chapter 5. We met an arrogant king who acted in blasphemous ways, who deprecated God's servant Daniel. He brought the vessels of God's temple right into the worship of his gods, and he blasphemed, and that very night, God judged him. A hand appeared on the wall. He was weighed in God's balances. He was found wanting. A sentence was declared against him, and it was executed that very night. And he's an example, an early example of the kingdom, of the ruler rather, this arrogant king that is eventually going to show up at the end. We're going to see another example of that in Daniel chapter 8 and again in Daniel chapter 11. And those are just examples of this final ruler who's going to show up at the end of the fourth kingdom. He's described here as a little horn in Daniel chapter 7. In Paul's day, he hadn't come yet. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Paul says that horn that Daniel saw in chapter 7, let me give you another description. He is a man of lawlessness. He's a man given over to anti-law. And he's not talking about the law of men. He's talking about the law of God. Later, John is going to write about him in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And he's going to say he is anti-Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.